Welcome back. Well, over the last 1 year, we've seen several measures, whether in the United Kingdom, Australia or Canada, to try and impose curbs on students, international students who go to their countries, whether it is higher rates of student fees or, in most cases, an effort at cutting down the availability of student visas to work over there, graduate visas in certain cases, worker visas in most cases, ultimately visas which lead you to the route towards getting Canadian or Australian citizenship. It's happened again now in the case of Australia and Canada. And the reason we are discussing this is because every single year there are tens of thousands of students from India who want an education in Canada, who want an education in Australia, who spend years saving money to try and get there with the ultimate aim of migrating to these countries in many cases with the goal of finding a job which they believe is suitable for them. All of a sudden, a lot of these students might be coming back. In many cases, many might even be deported. Let's talk first about Australia before we talk about Canada and take you through a couple of, the new laws. So in Australia, the annual student intake has been capped to 270,000 students. It's not just obviously Indians, it's students around the world. This is a crackdown on rising post-COVID migration, which is taking place in that country. But the problem is that foreign students have contributed immensely, $48 billion, to the Australian economy in 2023, which is why experts say that this is a move that could damage policy and a lucrative education industry. In fact, we've seen this sort of concern being stressed in the United Kingdom as well, which is why the United Kingdom actually reversed their policy, but not so in Australia, at least not so far. Let's move on and take a look at a couple of the other points and also take a look at the situation in Canada. But before that, in Australia, one of the measures which they've done is they've increased visa fees from $710 to $1,600. So, I mean, more than double. And there are requirements for students, the financial requirements. You must have a certain amount of money available to you. That's also increased. Again, it's a measure which ensures that the quality of students is, at least from an economic standpoint, is higher, that you don't get students who might enter that country and who might be on the lowest level of wages. But those financial requirements are difficult by the standards of most students. In Australia, there has been an effort now to cut the intake of workers. Ultimately, what are students doing? They're not just getting a degree and coming back. In most cases, they are trying to settle down, whether in this country, Canada in this case, or somewhere else. This is all a curb to ease the strain on housing, healthcare, as well. Let me explain this last point. When it comes to housing, a lot of students, with a lack of housing available for students and a real concern that the housing which was available was coming to students who were at a very low threshold in terms of the minimal acceptable rate, there was this entire effort at cutting down student housing right now. It's posed housing strains on housing and on the healthcare sector as well, because you are protected under social security and healthcare norms in Canada. Just the numbers themselves were proving to be difficult. Let's move on to the next couple of points. The unemployment rate in Canada has grown from 6.4%, grown to 6.4%. 1.9 million are presently unemployed. And the question is, therefore, if you are bringing in more people from outside than those who are already Canadian nationals, Canadian citizens, might find it more difficult to get a job. So let's go through a few other moves, points. Canada cutting their worker intake. The move comes after the temporary foreign worker program. That was impacted. A cap on the temporary foreign workers to 10% of the workforce. So if you're within that 10%, you can stay. And if you're not, then that's going to be a huge problem. Let's go through the guests that we've got at this stage. And what we've tried to do is actually line up a lot of young students who've been impacted by this. Also, lawyers looking at this entire situation. Dharminder Singh is in Brampton in Ontario in Canada. Madhav Singh is a member of the Naujawan Support Network. Lavdeen Gill is an immigration lawyer. Rohit Sharma is an immigration expert as well. We've got other panels as well, other panelists as well. Dharminder Singh, you're a postgraduate work permit holder. How does this impact you?
So, hello, my name is Dharminder Singh. So I came here as like an international student. So after that, they gave us like a post-graduation work permit. And when we like think about to come to Canada, so they sell us like a dream of PR as a, like by the giving us a study visa. So they sell the dream like to giving the PR. So now we get everything like we study, and they also mention like study, explore, work, and permanent residence. So we done everything like we study, we get the clothes, we do the work what they want, and now we are left just with the permanent residence. But now they are like just giving us like you have to go back. So we spend our like golden period of our life. So it is not like good thing for us and a good thing for them. Like they use us as a tissue paper. Now they are using to throw us.
We've got Gurjeet Singh with us as well, a member also of the Naujawan Support Network. Gurjeet, this is the latest in a series of steps which the Canadian government has taken. Why is this happening at this stage? What is the logic which the Canadian government is giving?
According to our understanding, I think it's all about profit. They got the profit from international students who came from, who were visiting Canada from so many years. And they just want they're using international students as cash cows. And now they want them to leave Canada with they were sold with the life that they can spend whole life in Canada. But right now they are just throwing them like a tissue paper so that they don't even care about how they study, how they live, if there is work in Canada. They don't even care. It's all about profit.
Lovleen Gill, is this about trying to ensure that students who do manage to stay on in terms of getting a visa to work are of a higher socioeconomic bracket?
Vishnu, the immigration policy of any host country is motivated by the national interests of the host country or economic interests of the host country. So it is similar case with Canada. As you have pointed out that due to higher number of immigrants, international students, temporary workers, there has been tremendous pressure on the Canadian housing industry, on infrastructure. And, you know, infrastructure has not been able to keep up with these numbers, which has become a political issue in Canada. So there are both aspects, you know, economic and political aspects. But one very pertinent point that should be discussed here is that when a student visa or a temporary work permit is granted, you know, one of the criteria of granting the permit or student visa is that the person is likely to move back to their mother countries after completing their education or after completing their temporary stay. So the students and the temporary workers, you know, they have explained and given this in writing to the government that they will return back to their countries when they have completed their studies and when they have completed their temporary stay. So laying the blame at the government's door and, you know, blaming the policymakers at the drop of the hat is not the answer to this problem. You know, the problem should be, you know, dealt with in an holistic way, and, you know, the complete picture should be seen both from...
Okay.
The student's point
of view. Let me just ask, go across to a student, Ritika Varma, who's traveling to Canada for a master's. Ritika, does this concern you, the fact that while you will get your master's degree, you don't have the option necessarily of, or the chances of your actually getting a work visa have gone down? Is that something that concerns you?
Definitely, yes, because my goal was to study there and to get a PR. But somewhere I would also agree with Lovleen what he just said. But we are also giving in writing that we will complete our studies and we'll come back to our mother country. So the thing is, the students should, should sit and, you know, they should have complete understanding of what they exactly want, whether they want to like study and come back, and in case if they want to move to another country. So that option is always available. But for students who are completing their 12th and coming to you know, migrating to Canada for studies, I think they should sit and they should evaluate. I think the better option for them would be to complete their graduation here in India, and then they can move to any other country, like in Canada especially, mm-hmm. For their master's. A complete, information should be given to students also when they're applying for, and they should also have a better understanding regarding the changes that is happening. And also, it also depends on the infrastructure sure. that is like, in Canada right now.
Let me just go across to Ghazal yeah. Mahajan, who wants to study in Australia. Okay, we don't have Ghazal at the moment. Let me go back to Lavleen Gill, the immigration lawyer. Is there necessarily a way around this? Do you believe, like in the case of the United Kingdom, that there may be a rollback because of protests? And I ask this because, foreign students are a sizable part of the income of educational institutions in Canada and in Australia. And therefore, the quality of education in universities in Canada and Australia would potentially be impacted. We've seen the United Kingdom actually roll back some of the things that they were thinking about. Do you perceive something like that happening in Australia or Canada?
Vishnu, so there are a few pathways to permanent residency after the open work permit period. You know, the students have to go through the express entry program or the provincial nominee program. The express entry is in the hands of the federal government. Actually, immigration portfolio is majorly with the federal government, but the provincial governments also have their provincial nominee program. So, students or temporary workers have to fit in those programs. The criterias, you know, what have been determined in these programs, the applicant has to meet that criteria. Coming to the question of the universities, the immigration minister in Canada has come down heavily on what he says are the puppy mill colleges or universities that are handing out useless diplomas and degrees to the students. So whatever the government has stated, the line the government has taken, I don't see an immediate clawback in that line of action, because, it has become, as you have been showing the tweet from the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. He says the labor market has changed. So the Canadian workers and Canadian young people who are competing with the temporary workers for low wage jobs, they are suffering as well. So the government has to balance the stakes of all the stakeholders. So I think this is what they are trying to do.
Sure. Let me just quickly go across to Rohit Sharma. Rohit, do you believe that this is going to result in a massive drop in student admissions or student applications to universities in Canada and in Australia?
In fact, the drop has already happened. In 2024, it was dropped by 37%. 2023 was the largest number of students that Canada, in fact, has enrolled. The thing is that, when students are looking forward to these countries like Canada and Australia, there's no denying to the fact they're looking forward from the perspective of permanent residency that is getting offered by these countries. Otherwise, majority of students would have always looked at the options of many European countries. Now, with these curbs, obviously, students will start looking at other destinations as well. It could be in various countries of Europe, which is, by the way, is beginning to be a hot destination for students. So, yes, there will be a dropout, no doubt. But my simple message is to all the students, very simple. If you have actual intent to go and study and gain some knowledge and work and gain that knowledge towards working in your own country or across the globe, then you need not to worry about, these curbs and all. But the students who are actually going with an intent of only having a migration, it is where, then the problem starts to persist. And if your objective is to have a quality of life by opting these countries' education or by opting to live and work in these countries, and if the unemployment rate is going to shoot up because one too many people are now landing in those countries, employment opportunities are restricted, then that quality of life purpose is also going to be defeated. Mm-hmm. So need not to get so worried about all these things. Have a very clear mindset that, okay, this is how I want to go. This is what I want to gain. Depending upon that, take the education of the respective country.
Madhav, would you like to come in over here? You know, among student members of the student community, could you give us a couple of reactions? Are they absolutely stunned? Do they see their futures or their chances of settling down in Canada badly impacted?
Hi, sir. Yes, it's so much stressful nowadays for the students and also the work permit holders, because the government is changing policies like every day. Like 3 years back, there were some plans. I joined streams, but they don't want those streams now. So they want us to work in healthcare or in construction sector nowadays. But we have invested our work permit in working in the other jobs, which were in those times considered as good jobs. So I was working as a office admin, and then now I'm working as a technician. So like that's why we have 3-4 demands. The first demand is just 3 years work permit is not enough, because if you are changing your policies each day, so we want at least 5 years of work permit with our studies. And also the guys who are suffering now, it's also because of the less draws intake, because in the last time, like from the last 2.5 years, the government is not conducting enough draws like they were conducting before. Before it was like biweekly, there is an express entry draw, but now we are getting express entry draws after 2-3 months. And the regular draws are started just now, like 2-3 months back. So we want them to, like, these draws should be regular. I got 3 years of work permit. So out of those 3 years, 2.5 years, there were no draw.
All right.
So how can I am not getting the same opportunity and the same thing as they were getting earlier?
Sure.
Or they will get in future.
Dharminder, so many students, perhaps you also, you know, it's not been easy to get the funds to in your case, get a postgraduate, work permit, or just to travel abroad, to get a visa, and the actual cost of education is extensive. Do you feel let down by that, you know, collecting funds for you and your family was not easy, and now all of a sudden you cannot recover the costs which have been incurred?
Yeah, you are right. So first I want to clear one thing. So there is a SOP, everyone talk about the SOP, that we write that we can return home after study, and that is not mandatory in every case. So most of us did not write any SOP that we can return after study to go back home. And after that, in Canada, the code had voted that document is not mandatory. So even who are coming to study and they can stay here, there is no mandatory that you are writing to the SOP that you are leaving the country after study. And other thing, the expense, I have to manage. Not me, everyone, it is very hard because it's very hard to find a job, and everywhere, they are exploiting the students. So they know they are in depression of the permanent residence, so they are get a chance to exploit everyone.
Sure.
So most of us in a depression, so most of us going into the sideways, so not everyone mentally strong, so we are just...
It does have a major mental impact, I can understand that. Rohit, isn't this also perhaps a chance to recognize and realize that it's the economies of several countries in the world which are doing better than Australia and Canada, and therefore the entire premise of going to study in these countries may be changing? In India, if you've got a GDP growth rate of 7.2%, and in certain categories jobs are available, then perhaps the entire premise of leaving a country like India needs to be rethought.
Absolutely. In fact, that is the change that is going to come now, because measures that what we call as the curves that these countries take, and they take suddenly out of the blue. I really feel sorry for those students who are sitting in Canada and suddenly they are now made to realize that they have to go back because they have invested everything, every important year of this very young age. So with the countries, as this is what I was talking to you, if countries belonging to Europe will show a better support to the students, better job opportunities, they will go there. And why not your own country? Why not India as a country where if the students believe they have the right education, which is there, if they can get the best opportunities, the things will change. The world is beginning to get very close. So gone are the days, when going for an international education is some kind of a high that anyways is over. As I was telling people, go it from the perspective of settling in those countries, and to take residencies later. So if they can cherish all that in India, they will. To any country, even if a country tomorrow comes, like a Malta comes or a Cyprus comes, and they say, hey, listen, we are having the best of education, we are having the best of placement solutions for you, then goodbye to Canada and Australia.
All right. Well, case. lots of thoughts over there. It's interesting that we should be speaking to students. A large number of you are in Canada, studying in Canada. As somebody who has 2 degrees from Canada, I had 2 degrees by the time I was just 21, including a master's. I chose not to stay on in Canada and come back to India in 1996. Perhaps that's also an option that a lot of young people need to make. Well, I'd like to thank you all very much for joining us. Irrespective of what I may feel on this entire issue, it is something which affects so many across the country for whom traveling abroad and living abroad is a big lifetime priority. Whether that those options exist in quite the same way that they did just a few months back or not, that's the larger question. From all of us here, yes. Goodbye.